And on Triple J, we're going to pretend that we remember what Emily sang last time she was in here. Because Emily from Metric, Emily Haynes, is in the studio. And last time you were here, you for Like a Virgin, you did The End Has No End by The Strokes.
That's right. It's all coming back.
Yes. And Give Me Sympathy, of course, off Metric's awesome last album. We're going to be hearing some more Metric very, very soon. Although you were here just on your Todd this time.
I am.
Just by yourself.
I'm feeling pretty psychedelic.
Do you need to be on your own to be psychedelic?
No, it's more to do with the travel. I literally just kind of got here. My flight from London was late, so I was stuck in Dubai. Oh. And in that airport.
Is it a fancy airport?
Oh, it's just so disturbing.
Does it have a golf course on top of it, like everything else in Dubai?
Exactly. It probably does. It's just like all this convergence of materialism and like no air and fake birds and... You know, we ended up staying in a hotel in the airport.
It's like a casino.
Yeah, just like and knowing that it was just this oasis in the desert of shopping. And it's like people are pushing carts and it's like they're shopping, but they've got their luggage and they're going, but they're shopping. And
it's like sort of a nomadic shopping existence because there's no home.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's just credit cards.
Yeah, I found it really, really disturbing. But I'm so happy that we made it here in time to talk to you.
Yeah. Did you buy anything?
I didn't buy anything, no. Bottle of water.
You didn't subscribe.
And even that I felt bad about because, as we all know, the plastic's made of oil. So.
Of course, yes.
Cheers.
Cheers to that. Well, you're drinking water out of a glass.
That's
now.
That's right, yes.
And I've had this bottle for about 3 months.
Feels good.
It's probably leaching plastic.
Totally hygienic, totally.
Yes, exactly. and you were very busy up until this point. I think there was shows with Metric and shows. Were you doing some Broken Social Scene? That's a good name for a band. Broken Social Scene shows as well?
Yeah. That was in New York just before... A couple weeks ago, they came through and we did the debut of Sentimental Exes, which is the song I wrote on Forgiveness Rock record. So it was fun. And we did it in Manhattan and in Williamsburg. And then Metric did a show in New York, Terminal 5, and then did a little run, you know, Columbus, Cleveland, Chicago. Went to Toronto, had a big birthday party, went to London, played at Shepherd's Bush, Coco, Paris, Jules Holland. Bam!
Wow.
And then you're in Dubai going, what does it all mean? You know, seriously, I was like, what's it for? Is this what it's for?
You know? So you can hang out in Dubai.
You know, it didn't seem right. It's like, where's my bed?
Does it ever get, but you don't think that when you're on stage.
I don't, but I do. Well, anyone who's heard my solo record knows, and actually it's because of my solo record, I believe that I'm here as much as Metric, but, you know, I'm aware of the contradictions of what it is that I'm doing and what it's for and what the consequences are. And I have been feeling pretty freaked out.
Wow.
So I'm here for therapy because I can't get home to see my shrink. I actually don't have a shrink, but shouldn't I get one?
Do you have a string quartet as a shrink?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, in a way, I mean, in all seriousness, that is the point of art. Is there so many things that are, as everyone feels, you know, you're wordless, you're speechless. You can't explain the feeling that it gives you, or in my case, my Dubai experience, just like combined with like the Sex and the City movie and all, it's so gross. It's just like, you know, just feeling like, what is going on? Where are we headed? And what's my role in it, you know?
And what the hell has Sarah Jessica Parker got to do with any of this?
Oh, and
besides
like the,
making really bad racial stereotypes.
Eating French fries and the burqa. Like, yeah. I'm just like, oh man, this is all so whack. Mm. But so then, in fact, in all seriousness, it does help to sit down with a string section and, you know, and play music.
There we go. A little bit louder on Triple J. Give Me Sympathy by Metric. Emily Haynes is in the country without the rest of Metric, the other three quarters. You are playing with just a string quartet, your therapeutic string quartet.
Yeah, that's right.
and what are these people like?
I haven't met them. As soon as I leave you, I'm going to head over there. I've got Todor Kobakov, who's this great arranger, string arranger and writer. He worked with me on my album, Knives Don't Have Your Back. So he's been working furiously to adapt, for the first time ever, the songs of Fantasies into this orchestration. So it'll be me on piano and this Sydney string quartet.
And so just the newer Metric songs are going to be transformed.
Yeah, I'm going to perform Fantasies.
Right. Wow. And did you have a hand in the orchestration of this? You know. More...
Yeah. Well, we went back and forth. I mean, but he's a brilliant mind, and he drew on the existing melodies and progressions, obviously, and changes and stuff in the songs. But, you know, and we would go back and forth on ideas of mood and textural things, but it's completely his vision. It's great.
Does it sound weird, obviously not on this string quartet, but what you've heard from his work, hearing your music played like that?
Well, he's all I've got right now are these mock-ups, so it's just
like MIDI sounds.
Well, there. In fact, though, luckily for him, as a, I'm sure he feels this way as a writer, the sounds are quite good, so it's not a depressing thing. It doesn't sound like, you know, Blade Runner or something when you're doing. No, I really like his sense of harmony. He has a very unusual sense and looks for ways to turn things on their head and explore rhythm in unusual ways in a string section. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And was it something that you would have thought, going into Metric, and also into this album that, yeah, I reckon I'll get a string quartet to play these songs one day?
Well, this is part of when I'm confiding that that I'm tripping is like the sort of domino effect of the things that happen. And I've always said I'm a musician for the adventure of my life is an unwritten story, as is everyone's, but this is a particularly windy one. The path that brings me here, which is, I'm sure you plan on getting to, but which is Lou Reed.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, no, I didn't anticipate being back in Australia so soon since Park Life, which was really fun. And in all practicality, it's completely absurd that I've wedged in this little little weekend trip
and
to Sydney.
And also Park Life is, essentially a dance festival. So last time you were here was a little bit weird as well
it
in
was
terms
raging,
of bringing the rock and roll to a dance festival. On Triple J, that was Old Man River, You're On My Mind. And before that, some new music from Gyroscope, Baby, I'm Getting Better, off the album Cohesion. Emily Haynes is in the studio. You are about to go and meet your string quartet for the first time to run these songs, the songs from Fantasies and from your solo album, Knives Don't Have Your Back.
I'm actually not going to do any of those songs.
All right, so just Fantasies.
Yeah, it's just Fantasies.
That's going to be quite interesting. I was actually talking just yesterday to Mr. Lou Reed, which I'm so excited about. You know, he's sitting in the same chair that Lou Reed sat in. He's amazing, and I got to meet him, and I imagine you have as well.
Yeah, well, it's one of the, I feel the same way about the experience. It was another, talking about like the domino effect of your life or something, thing where Hal Wilner, who he works with on various projects,
and he was sitting in that seat.
Oh yes,
where your laptop is.
Right, I'm hanging out with the ghosts. Yeah. Which I'm kind of used to. That's great. So Hal was curating an event in Vancouver, this Neil Young tribute, which, as he often does various tributes, he brings together different musicians. And he invited Broken Social Scene, and he also invited me and Jimmy from Metric to come and be part of it. Again, it was just like, this can't work. This can't happen. There's no way. We can't be there. And then things transpired so that we were. I did Man Needs a Maid. By the way, the Neil Young song, which anyone who heard my solo record, I have a song called The Maid Needs a Maid, which is kind of another perspective on that song. So that was cool. That was a good song to do. And which I was just very excited to do with the orchestra and everything. It was great. And then expecting, okay, I'm going to meet Lou Reed. I'm going to say, hi, Lou Reed, I'm nobody, and you're Lou Reed, and, go back to my dressing room. But instead, when I met him, he said, oh, Emily Haynes, we play your music all the time on our radio show. And then, which was already just like, well, that's a wonderful thing. Thank you for that. My solo record particularly. And then he said, yeah, and that Metric stuff, I really love it. He said, and then this is the thing that I will never forget is, I'm a huge Velvet Underground fan, right? This, I don't know that there's any music that's been more important to me than that.
You could be wearing the same leather jacket that Lou Reed was wearing yesterday.
Maybe we kind of had the same look at the Neil Young thing too. But so he said, right off, like, so who would you rather be, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones? Which
he's quoting your lyrics back at you.
He quoted the lyrics from Gimme Sympathy back to me. And I just, it was just one of those moments where it's like, this is in your whole life, all those years in my bedroom listening, Stephanie Says, all this stuff, Street Hustle, all this stuff, everything.
Yeah.
Then it's all come back around, and the work that I've done has brought me to the point that he's treating me like a peer and like a fellow writer.
Or he was having an acid flashback and could only speak in song lyrics.
Maybe.
If he was to go, I fought the war and the war won,
Emily.
And the war
won, exactly.
Then you would know you'd be in trouble. Man, he said this.
Metric, some of what she does, I think, as good as it gets.
That's a little, you can have that as your ringtone.
That's funny. Yeah, I can have that as a quote and then mm-hmm. just Lou Reed, like put that on albums.
Yeah, put that on your gigs. And Social Broken Social Scene did a song with Lou Reed on stage at that gig.
Yeah, didn't they do? I think it was the song from Dead Man or something.
Yeah,
that sounds right. Like
yeah,
the
Dead
instrumental.
Man. Yeah, Dead Man. I'm going to play some Broken Social Scene now. Sentimental X's. This is a song that you wrote, mm-hmm. and was this the one that was an instrumental at some stage?
Yeah, it was. It's one of the most I think out there. Tracks of theirs in terms of I urge all your listeners to try to find the one in Sentimental X's. It's a really interesting interesting progression.
You should have done Sentimental X's last night at the Noise Night at Vivid Festival.
It would have fit in. Mm-hmm. Would have been good. But yeah, so they had it as a one of their more abstract tracks, and Kevin just had this vision because I'd been in the studio at Giant, and just when I was listening to it, just standing next to him in the control room, just and Amy and Feisty were there, we're all just hanging out, and I started going da 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 da. Kevin's like, "What's that?" I'm like, "I don't know." And he's like, "I love that. I want that in there." And I was like, "Yeah, me too, man. You want to get a beer?" And we left. Months go by. You know, we're on the road. They're finishing the record. It's just impossible, impossible. And then, you know, the weeks were going by, and I was like, "Man, this." He kept calling, being like, "Am really like, I think we got to make this happen." I was like, "I agree." And then it was really down to, you know, the day before the last possible moment, went to Electric Lady, tracked it. And I think it turned out really well. It ended up being, you know, and then Amy and Leslie came in and sang on it. So it's kind of the song about us, for us. You know, it's a love letter to my pals.
On Triple J, Sentimental X's, and I'm speaking to Emily Haynes. Is there going to be a Broken Social Scene movie? I saw something about some backstage business.
Yeah, there are things floating around.
All right, that's good.
I sound like a politician, yeah?
No, that was, no, I have lots of musicians that love doing that. Sarah Blasco last week was like, I said, is there going to be an all-girl supergroup in Australia? And she's like, that sounds like a good idea.
Nice. I'm going to use that one.
Yeah. I think that's, who else did that when I was suggesting, Perry Farrell, when he was talking about the rumors about Duff playing bass with Jane's Addiction, and he goes, well, that sounds cool. Yeah, I might try that. And obviously, he was already well and truly in the band.
Nice.
All right. And Emily Haynes from Metric and Broken Social Scene is in the studio tonight. You are performing with a string quartet, all of Fantasies, the last Metric album. And you haven't met the string quartet yet. We established that, which is going to be very interesting. You know, when Metric play, you jump around, you're bashing around on the keyboards and stuff. You like a dance. What are you going to be doing tonight?
I'm going to be playing music. You know, I mean, this is the thing. This is why, when did I put my solo album out? Like 2007? Can someone tell me? I don't even, that sounds right. Maybe 6 or 7.
And can Wikipedia give us a call,
somebody,
please?
Can somebody help me this way? But it was, you know, exactly for this reason. It's just like, I'm a multifaceted artist. Mm-hmm. So I'm always doing different collaborations with different bands, different projects. Metric is 100% my main thing, but you know, the writing process, the distance between the writing process and what it ends up as in Metric is pretty big, you know. And as people saw, if anyone who saw the documentary piece on Help I'm Alive from Fantasies knows, is like everything starts with the simplest of ingredients. And occasionally I feel like showing people that stripped down part. There's nothing I love more than putting on a great rock and roll show. And I think the four of us bring the love and bring the energy, like, you know, like it's 1979. And so I really enjoy that. But, you know, why wouldn't I try to develop as an artist, you know?
Very good point. Very good point. Speaking of that collaboration thing, because I guess the whole thing that's happening in Sydney at the moment, the Vivid Festival, which you're a part of, is all about collaborations. People are jumping up on stage with other people and stuff. Are you sticking around to do anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to see what happens. You know, I kind of know how these guys roll post the Neil Young tribute in Vancouver.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to expect anything. I'm just going to see what happens and see where I end up.
Yeah, because Lou Reed was saying he was going to get up on stage last night for the finale of Noise Night, and I imagine he will be side of stage probably when you're playing it. You know, does he do that? Does he get around to things like that?
Yeah, well, I know at the Neil Young tribute, it was one of the most amazing moments to come off stage playing the Neil Young song and have Lou and Elvis Costello sort of in rapid succession.
Elvis Costello was there as
well. Yeah, they're both like saying, oh, great job, Em.
Do you keep a checklist in your back pocket just to go through these people?
I do in a way because, you know, it's not, you need these moments to remember, you know, again, it counteracts the Dubai airport question mark, you know, of what's the what, you know?
Yeah, this is the what.
Justin Baroff calls it the Y zone. It's the drama from Broken Social Scene. When you're just in these places and it's like, you know, as we've established, it's like the idea that your life is playing out and this things are interconnected and they're taking you somewhere. But sometimes that somewhere is not really, it's hard to trace what the hell you're doing there. So it's moments like having Elvis Costello and Lou side stage and, you know, saying, thank you, Elvis. Like, thank you for thanking me, Elvis. You know, those are good times.
On Triple J, that is actually Emily Haynes from a few years ago, outside of Metric, a solo album called Knives Don't Have Your Back, very humorous, Dr. Blind. We were talking about the moments that give your why, you know, they give an answer to the question why when you're in Dubai Airport and stuff. Where does doing the theme song for Twilight factor in that?
Well, it's a similar thing, actually. It's not unlike everything we've been discussing today. It's like, you know, I didn't expect to end up at dinner with Lou and have that result in, you know, meeting Laurie and being in Australia talking to you.
This story is embellishing. Now you're having dinner with Lou Reed.
Well, it was fine. It was interesting. It was, you know, they're generous to... I won't disclose those kind of details. The point being that, you know, then they result in other things. So in an equally inexplicable and unexpected moment, I don't know if your listeners are aware of another great writer, great minds, great composer, whose name is Howard Shore. He's known most recently for doing all the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which is, the more commercial stuff. But he did all of David Cronenberg's catalog, scoring it, right? So he did Naked Lunch with Ornette Coleman. I mean, I don't know if you're...
So he's been doing stuff for a long time.
He's been doing stuff for a long time.
Sort of
he's
little left field, but...
touring musician, really interesting stuff. And then he, you know, he has done some Scorsese films.
Yeah, both of them, Scorsese and Scorsese.
Yeah, the brothers.
He scored Scorsese.
Nice.
Wow.
The team, that was good. Thanks for the rescue there.
No worries.
And, you know, and then he, every time they do one of these Twilight movies within the saga, they choose a new person to score it. Mm-hmm. So they chose Howard Shore, and Howard Shore inexplicably chose Metric, to write this theme song with him. Totally cold call out of the blue. This is Howard. I have an idea for the film because in previous films, although the soundtrack has always been a big part of the movie, there's never been really a theme song, right? So you go, okay, the Death Cab song from last year. And of course we always associate Muse with the soundtrack. Yep. But in this case, he said, I've written the score. I've got it in a certain key. I've got certain progressions, certain ideas, certain melodies I want to use. And I want it to culminate with this song. And I want it to be sung by you and played by Metric.
There you go. And once again, talking about collaboration. So
yeah, exactly. So, and this was really like, okay, you know, to be honest, I was just like, this is a good exercise. Mm-hmm. We have no time to do this, but we're going to take it on.
Lucky he'd already had the key sorted out then.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that sorted it for us a little bit. And he did direct the writing quite a bit. But, you know, it's something, it's just like, of course we're going to try this. The likelihood of it happening, you know, everyone knows in film, it's like, there's so many things that get cut. And it was just, we were just happy and honored that he asked us. And then to our amazement, you know, with the endorsement of Stephanie Meyer in the end, and everyone was just like, this is the song, we love it. And it was a really, it was crazy, like as a writer as well, lyrically, because I had to write from Bella's perspective, who's the lead character. So
yeah. Wow. So it must be an interesting idea knowing that there's a certain weight writing from the point of view of the main character in Twilight, but the number of people that are going to hear that song, you know, who may not know Metric. People, you know, it's the most successful book film franchise for, you know, for kids of that age and for so many people in American history.
Yeah, so, it's heavy. I mean, I think for me, we would have been happy if we'd been asked to be on the soundtrack or something, you know, but this is much more interesting and in fact allowed us to do something. It's, you know, and people ask, like, what does it sound like? And it sounds exactly like Metric and Howard Shore. It sounds like Metric wrote a song with Howard Shore for the end scene of a film.
So. We had a look. We couldn't find it anywhere on the internet. It hasn't leaked yet, so there's no way we could find out.
Yeah.
But this is like, you know, this is like doing the Bond theme. This is like, you know, for this decade.
Right, I suppose. Well, I hope people like it. I really like the song, and I really connected with the character. I think it's, you know... it's kind of gross out there for teenage girls as far as role models often, you know. It's like a lot of really shallow sort of questionable stuff going on out there in the in that world. So I think Stephanie created a really good character. I think Bella's, you know, actually a young woman that you can say, all right, I feel you. You seem human, you know.
Now I'm going to write a song from your point of view.
That's right.
On Triple J, Midnight Juggernauts, Vital Signs from the Crystal Axis. You're also playing on Friday night, the Slow Music Night.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So, and Lou Reed is going to be on there that night. So that's exciting. And is that more stuff with the quartet? Or?
No, well, that'll be me in collaboration with the other musicians and, awesome. And doing a song with Lou. So that'll be good. It'll be fun.
That's very, very cool. Now, I'm going to go out with Stadium Love, which is the last track on Fantasies, which I would very much like to hear with a string quartet. I just saw the video clip for this.
Oh, yeah.
I chucked it on my blog. You're in a cage surrounded by tigers.
It's cool, right?
It's cool. And a little bit, I'm sure that the controls these days and those kind of things are over the top. And there's no chance that a paw could get through those bars.
Well, it's weird because that's what everyone kept saying. And they were very serious and very professional. It's like the tiger was, I think, the one that was in The Hangover. Like it's this totally established.
It's a star tiger.
Yeah.
Although since then, it might have got a little bit of an attitude.
Who knows?
After the success
That's
of the
right.
Hangover.
Maybe what if it got an ego?
Yeah.
The most interesting part and the most humbling was in the shots where I'm with the lion.
Mm-hmm. Just sitting down.
Yeah. I mean, and it's weird because we were actually disappointed when we saw the footage because we're so used to seeing CGI and stuff that it's hard to make something real. I mean, these are such majestic animals and we're so used to it or something. We were kind of disappointed that it's not more like she's really sitting there. Like, how do we show you that? But sitting there just, you know, caressing the mane of this lion and with very strict rules about how to behave. And I was quite proud. The handlers told me that they'd never seen someone with a stronger connection with the animal. So, because I really did feel like, what an incredible creature. And again, who would have thought I would find myself sitting with, how did my life as a musician bring me to be sitting here caressing this lion's, you know, mane going, ooh, ooh, you. Like,
there's a few careers that could lead
ooh,
you to that.
Ooh, you. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
And not only you lip syncing, there was a bear lip syncing.
Oh, that's my favorite
ooh.
Shot. I'm so glad you caught that one. That's my favorite moment in the whole thing.
That is a little bit of CGI making that bear backing well, do the backing vocals.
We had the benefit of some Getty images.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was
and
helpful.
There are a lot. Yeah, it's like David Attenborough doco gone wrong. And then there's bits of you hanging out with the lion, just in case someone's career path does lead them to caress a lion and lip sync ooh ooh you. What are the rules about caressing a lion?
Well, in this case, it was just about the way that you approach them. And everyone around as well had to be, you know, there were very, very serious rules about respecting the proximity of the animal, no fast movements. There's certain angles, like I could come sort of behind once the lion was settled. I could come from a certain spot, oddly, where he couldn't see me.
Yeah, because think you'd want to keep there.
It was kind of counterintuitive.
I think
but
that's horses.
Yeah, I realized how little I knew about this topic when I was there. But
which is strange.
Yeah, the essence was, though, just that, you know, it was like being around children or something where you feel that they can sense really what you're really about.
Mm-hmm.
It was just very much like, think pure thoughts. Think, I am good. I am kind. I am calm. Please don't do, because they have to say, you sign all these things that say, like, these things will not happen, except they totally could.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, and it's not our fault if it does happen.
If it
happen.
Does, exactly.
Exactly so. Right. And you're playing the synth with just your left hand.
It's
and
just not a good look.
No, apparently not. Well, I'm glad it all worked out fine, and I'm glad we've discovered that lions are mind readers.
Yes.
They can tell how you're feeling. Emily, have fun. Tonight at the Opera House, 8 p.m., is Emily Haynes with a string quartet that you have yet to meet, performing all of Fantasies. And then Friday, the Slow Music Night, at the Sydney Vivid Festival. Check it out. Thanks very much. And will we see the full band in Australia anytime soon?
Oh, definitely.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Here on Triple J, check it out on the blog if you want to see those lions, tigers and bears. Stadium Love from Fantasies by Metric.
It's the doctor on Triple J.